April 28th, waking up for an early class? That's hard. Voting is easy. You can register and vote on campus from April 13th to 16th. And don't forget to bring accepted ID. Check elections.ca to find out where and when you can vote.
Democracy Now.
Mohsen was an incredible partner in conversation about peacemaking and bridge building in a reality that is extremely polarized. He was doing the really hard work of empathy, listening to people, trying to bring people together across enormous divide.
Are mounting for the release of Columbia University student Mohsen Makhdawi, who is set to graduate this spring but was detained by Homeland Security agents in Vermont when he went for his naturalization test. We'll speak with Democratic Congress member Becca Ballant, the first Jewish member of Congress to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. She's from Vermont. Then Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. All three are owned by Meta. This week, in a major trial, the Federal Trade Commission's arguing Meta has an illegal monopoly and should be forced to break up. We'll speak with former Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen. Then Harvard University's pushing back as President Trump ramps up his attacks on higher education.
When it comes to Harvard, as I said, the president has been quite clear. They must follow federal law. He also wants to see Harvard apologize, and Harvard should apologize for the egregious anti-Semitism that took place on their college campus against Jewish American students. As for the tax-exempt status, I would defer you to the IRS for any updates.
We'll speak to Professor Andrew Crespo at Harvard Law School. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A federal judge is weighing contempt proceedings against Trump administration officials over the case of Maryland father Kilmer Abrego Garcia, who was wrongfully sent to a maximum security mega prison in El Salvador in March. Judge Paula Zinnes on Tuesday questioned why Garcia was still, quote, inexplicably detained in El Salvador's notorious terrorism confinement center, or SECAT, despite rulings, including by the U.S. Supreme Court ordering his return. Judge Zinnes also said there's no evidence so far that shows Trump officials have even attempted to facilitate Garcia's safe return home, and gave them until next week to turn over documents and sit for depositions to explain steps they've taken to secure Abrego Garcia's return. Protesters gathered outside the courthouse in Greenbelt, Maryland, Tuesday. This is Abrego Garcia's wife, Jennifer.
Today is 34 days after his disappearance, and I stand before you filled with spirit that refuses to bring down. I will not stop fighting until I see my husband alive.
Jennifer is an American citizen. They have a five-year-old child. Democratic Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen is traveling to El Salvador today to push for Abrego Garcia's release from prison. Demands are mounting for other Democratic lawmakers to join. Meanwhile, as the Trump administration continues to defend its decision refusing to bring Abrego Garcia home, reports emerge the police officer who formerly accused Abrego Garcia without evidence of being a member of MS-13 was later suspended for misconduct. Those revelations didn't stop White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt from making these comments Tuesday.
There is never going to be a world in which this is an individual who's going to live a peaceful life in Maryland because he is a foreign terrorist and a MS-13 gang member.
Kilmer Abrego Garcia lived in Maryland for almost 15 years after fleeing gang violence in El Salvador. He was a sheet metal apprentice. The president of North America's building trades unions, Sean McGarvey, received a standing ovation from a crowd of workers when he recently demanded Garcia's return.
We need to make our voices heard. We're not red. We're not blue. We're the building trades, the backbone of America. We built a $5 billion. You want to build a $5 billion data center? Want more six-figure careers with healthcare, retirement, and no college debt? You don't call Elon Musk. You call us. Yeah. North America's building trade unions. And yeah, that means all of us. All of us, including our brother, smart apprentice, Kilmar Arbrega Garcia, who we demand to be returned to us and his family now. Bring him home.
He received a standing ovation from the workers. A federal judge in Massachusetts has ruled against the Trump administration, temporarily blocking its attempt to revoke deportation, protection and work permits for an estimated 500,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua and Venezuela living in the U.S. under humanitarian parole program. Gerline Joseph, executive director of the Haitian Bridge Alliance, said in a statement, quote, hundreds of thousands of our neighbors will go to sleep tonight knowing that the Trump administration's attempts to delegitimize and criminalize our communities have been thwarted for now. This win is a testament to the power and dedication of our communities, unquote. This comes as several immigration attorneys have received letters from Customs and Border Protection in recent days, ordering them to self-deport, even though the lawyers are U.S. citizens. That includes at least one immigration lawyer in Ohio and two in Massachusetts who received an email reading, quote, DHS is terminating your parole. Do not attempt to remain in the United States. The federal government will find you, unquote. A New Hampshire newly released video shows the moment federal immigration agents tackled a Venezuelan man inside a Nashua courthouse as he prepared for his arraignment on misdemeanor charges. The video shows he was violently pressed to the ground by the agents, who also knocked over and injured an elderly bystander. Meanwhile, a real estate attorney from New Hampshire was stopped by U.S. Customs and Border Protection on Sunday as he crossed into Vermont following a weekend visit to Canada. Achir Atala is a Lebanese-American, a U.S. citizen. He says he was treated like a criminal and detained without explanation by agents who twisted his arm and handcuffed him, prompting a medical emergency as his blood pressure spiked. Atala described the incident to NBC 10 Boston.
He asked me, exit the vehicle right now, and he reached for his gun. I said, okay, I'm exiting the vehicle. Keep your gun at your waist. So I had to, under duress, give him permission to look through my email, through my privilege information, and he made me write a statement signed by me saying that I gave him permission to look through the email.
In Georgia, a man was tased by police on Tuesday as protesters peacefully disrupted a town hall in Cobb County hosted by Republican Congress member, the far-right Marjorie Taylor Greene. Video shows several police officers escorting the man out of the venue when one of the officers fired the taser. Shortly after the protester was tased, Greene said to the crowd, quote, this is a peaceful town hall. At a separate Republican town hall in Iowa Tuesday, a crowd heckled and grilled 91-year-old Senator Chuck Grassley on the Trump administration's mass deportation scheme.
The Constitution, the framers of the Constitution, said that every person, right, not citizen, right, every person within the jurisdiction of the United States has due process. And we would like to know what you, as the people, the Congress, who are supposed to rein in this dictator, what are you going to do about these people who have been sentenced to life imprisonment in a foreign country with no due process?
Republican lawmakers who are back in their districts during a two-week congressional recess have largely opted out of town halls or shifted to virtual town halls to avoid protest. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz says his forces will continue their siege of the Gaza Strip, where over 2 million people have gone more than 6 weeks with no shipments of food, water, medicine and other life-saving supplies. Katz also said Israel will continue occupying parts of Gaza indefinitely, calling them security zones, and pledged Israeli forces will remain in occupied parts of Lebanon and Syria as well. Al Jazeera reports at least 19 people have been killed in Israeli attacks across Gaza since dawn today, including 10 people killed in a strike on eastern Gaza City. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports autopsies of the 15 paramedics and rescue workers killed in an Israeli shooting last month died mainly from gunshots to the head or chest. Their bodies were discovered in a mass grave with the crushed remains of ambulances, a fire truck, and a UN vehicle buried nearby. President Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff said Tuesday, Iran must completely end its nuclear enrichment program as part of any nuclear deal with the Trump administration. It's a reversal of a policy Witkoff spelled out on Fox News just a day prior when he said Iran should be allowed to conduct verified low-level enrichment of uranium for civilian use. Witkoff's apparent U-turn followed a successful opening round of indirect talks in Oman with Iran, with more negotiations scheduled for this weekend. In Tehran, Iran's foreign ministry said the U.S. must take concrete and effective steps to lift sanctions that have devastated Iran's economy.
Iran's main negotiation topic and primary demand is the removal of the unjust and illegal sanctions imposed on the Iranian people for decades. This is a serious and fundamental request, and we made this clear in the negotiations in Muscat.
The White House has further escalated its trade war with China, threatening to impose a tariff of up to 245% on most imports of Chinese goods to the United States. The threat, in a fact sheet published by the White House late Tuesday, promoted China's foreign ministry to call for a de-escalation.
This tariff war was initiated by the U.S. side, and China took necessary countermeasures to safeguard its legitimate rights and interests, as well as international fairness and justice, which are completely reasonable and lawful. China's position has always been clear. There is no winner in a tariff or a trade war.
NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte pledged unwavering support for Ukraine Tuesday as he visited the southern Ukrainian city of Odessa for talks with President Volodymyr Zelensky. Their meeting came a day after President Trump once again blamed Ukraine, not Russia, for starting the war.
When you start a war, you got to know that you can win the war, right? You don't start a war against somebody that's 20 times your size and then hope that people give you some missiles.
Trump made those remarks after downplaying a Russian attack on the city of Sumy on Sunday that killed 35 people and injured more than 100 others in one of the deadliest attacks on civilians since Russia's 2022 full-scale invasion of Ukraine. The White House is issuing new media restrictions that will significantly curtail access to President Trump by media wire services, including the Associated Press and Reuters. This comes after a federal judge ruled the Trump administration had violated the AP's free speech rights when it banned reporters from the White House after the news agency refused to adopt Trump's new name for the Gulf of Mexico. A Russian court in Moscow has sentenced four journalists to 5.5 years in prison each after convicting them of extremism. Two of the four worked for Sotavision, which documents Russian protests and court proceedings. The others contributed to international news outlets, including Reuters and the Associated Press. Prosecutors allege that the journalists were involved with a banned anti-corruption organization founded by Alexei Navalny, the opposition politician who died in a Russian penal colony last year following repeated assassination attempts. Lawmakers in Hungary have approved a constitutional amendment banning public events by the LGBTQ plus community, including pride celebrations. The amendment also enshrines the principle that Hungary only recognizes two genders, male and female, in line with the Prime Minister Viktor Orban's far-right agenda. In London, the United Kingdom's Supreme Court has ruled unanimously that the definition of a woman does not include trans women, who will no longer be protected as women under Britain's Equality Act. The case was brought by the group For Women Scotland, which is partly funded by the writer J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter franchise. The International Maritime Organization has reached a deal to curb greenhouse gas emissions from the global shipping industry. The agreement will penalize ships that fall short of targets for reducing carbon dioxide pollution. The agreement was approved at a conference in London after the Trump administration withdrew the U.S. from the talks, urging other countries to follow suit and threatening reciprocal measures against any fees charged to U.S. vessels. And in Brazil, climate activists rallied in the capital, Brasilia, Tuesday, demanding urgent action to protect the Amazon and indigenous communities ahead of the United Nations COP30 climate summit set to take place in the northeastern city of Belém in November. This is indigenous leader Marcia Litupari.
One of the issues we will bring to COP30 is the importance of demarcating indigenous lands and recognizing indigenous territories as a climate issue. Because we know, for example, that in Brazil, we still have protected areas with living forests, thanks to indigenous territories. So we want this to be discussed in these spaces, for indigenous leadership to be present in them, and for our national representatives to hear our voices.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in Vermont, where the Trump administration is seeking to deport Columbia University student Mohsen Mahdawi because his activities could, quote, potentially undermine, unquote, the Middle East peace process. That's the reason cited by Secretary of State Marco Rubio in a memo the Department of Homeland Security submitted in Mahdawi's case, the same one cited for the detention of his fellow Columbia student protest leader, Mahmoud Khalil. Mohsen Mahdawi was set to graduate Columbia this spring, but he's now being held in a prison in northwest Vermont after he was detained by Homeland Security agents when he went to an immigration services center to take a civics test that's the final step in the process of becoming a naturalized U.S. citizen. Mahdawi has been a permanent resident, a green card holder, since 2015, for a decade. He moved to Vermont from the occupied West Bank in 2014, where he was the third generation in his family to live in Fraa, a Palestinian refugee camp. He then attended Lehigh University in Pennsylvania before transferring to Columbia in 2021 to study international affairs. His legal team says they have not received, quote, any information or basis for his detention. They say the militant Zionist organization Batar has called for his deportation and targeted him online. The group wrote online Monday, quote, we confirm we provided info on him and many others, unquote. This comes as all three members of Vermont's congressional delegation, Senators Bernie Sanders and Peter Welch, as well as the Congress member, Becca Ballant, are calling for Mahdawi's release, as well as Vermont's Republican Governor Phil Scott, who issued a statement Tuesday criticizing his detention. In a minute, we'll speak with Democratic Congressmember Ballant of Vermont. But first, Democracy Now! Spoke Tuesday to one of the many people who knows Mahdawi well and have been speaking out since he was taken by federal immigration agents.
My name is Gili Getz. I'm an organizer. I'm Israeli. I'm a peace activist, and I'm an organizer with the Israelis for Peace. It's a group we started after October 7. We looked for a place where we could be fully human and recognize the humanity of Israelis and Palestinians and everybody who lives in the land. And Mohsen was an incredible partner in conversation about peacemaking and bridge building in a reality that is extremely polarized. He was doing the really hard work of empathy, listening to people, trying to bring people together across enormous divide. And the news of his kidnapping by the Trump administration was so devastating to us, as is the news of kidnapping of all students illegally, unlawfully, as part of a larger attack on our democracy, our freedom, just our ability to live in a democracy.
That was Gili Getz, an organizer with the group Israelis for Peace NYC, who knows Mohsen Mahdawi. For more, we go to Brattleboro, Vermont, where we're joined by Democratic Congressmember Becca Ballant. She's the first Jewish member of Congress to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. She is the granddaughter of a man who is lost in the Holocaust. She issued a statement this week with Vermont Senators Bernie Sanders and Peter Welch on the Trump administration's detention of Mohsen, saying, quote, this is immoral, inhumane, and illegal. Mr. Mahdawi, a legal resident of the United States, must be afforded due process under the law and immediate release from detention. Congressmember Ballant, welcome back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. Talk about what's taken place. I mean, the fact that he was brought to Vermont, and explain, he reached out to all three of you, to Senators Welch and Sanders and you before saying, I'm being told to come in for this test. I'm worried this is a trap.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I want people to understand is you have a situation, as you said, he has been a green card holder for 10 years. Mr. Makhdawi has been accused of no crime. Okay, this is critically important for people to understand. He's been accused of no crime, went in for his final citizenship interview. It seems like this was possibly a ruse to get him to show up, then arrested upon his arrival. And again, I want people to understand these were masked, hooded men in plain clothes with an unmarked van handcuffing him. This is not the America I think many of us thought we lived in. And he was not afforded the ability to speak to his attorney right away. He was not afforded due process in a court of law. He's being attacked because of free speech. This should terrify every single person living in this country, regardless of your citizenship status. They are coming for people because of their beliefs and what they may have said. And, you know, I'm so enraged by this also because of who Mr. Makhdawi is. He has said in the past that the fight for freedom of Palestine and the fight against anti-Semitism go hand in hand, because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. He is not someone who is a threat to our supposed international foreign policy interests. And it's critically important that we do not allow Secretary Rubio to make these claims without providing proof, evidence to Congress. He is required to provide certification of his personal determination about Makhdawi's threat to our country, to Congress. That has not happened. And it is clear that he is abusing his position as Secretary of State, and I won't have it.
Representative, you're a vice-ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. Have you had any conversations with your fellow members of the committee, especially some Republicans, about this state of affairs of federal officers, as you say, mass grabbing people off the street and disappearing them effectively?
You would think that Republicans who serve on the Judiciary Committee would care deeply about the rule of law, care deeply about the Constitution. When we brought up the case of Abrego Garcia that you were just discussing on the show, who is a constituent of our ranking member, Jamie Raskin, in the committee, we were mocked. We were dismissed, saying that they were spewing all kinds of lies about him. And they do not seem to understand that their stance on this is a threat to Americans everywhere. They are using talking points from this administration that are based in lies, and they don't seem to care the damage that they are doing, certainly to these individual men and women who are being detained and disappeared, but more broadly to our Constitution and the system of government that we have here. It is shocking, it's disheartening, and you can bet that we're going to continue to bring up these issues within the committee. But it is a bleak time right now in the Judiciary Committee where we can't even get our colleagues to stand up for our Constitution, something we thought we all agreed upon.
Could you talk as well about the difference with the public officials in Vermont? There was recently a Russian scientist working at Harvard, Ksenia Petrova, was detained by ICE and held at a Vermont women's prison in South Burlington for a week. How have officials in Vermont responded to these things?
So I will tell you that it's clear to me that we need a much stronger pushback from all elected officials in Vermont. I want more transparency about the kind of agreements that the state of Vermont has entered into with the federal government on these cases. Many of us in Vermont, and I was at a town hall the other night that was packed, many people asking about how is it that in a state that believes so clearly, the name, you know, the motto of our state is freedom and unity, We stand up for each other. We believe in the rule of law. We believe in freedom. That we need more full-throated statements from elected officials, from the governor on down, about asking for more transparency on these issues. Vermonters do not want this happening in their name. And you can bet that the senators and I are going to continue to demand more answers. This is not who we are as Vermonters. It's not who we are as Americans.
Congressmember Becca Vallant, I wanted to ask you about Ramessa Ozturk, the graduate student at Tufts, who was taken off the street as she was going to dinner by masked agents. She even said to them, I'm calling the police. They said, we are the police. Also, interestingly, one of her lawyers said at a Liberation Seder outside of ICE headquarters in New York the other day that she had told him that when the ICE agents surrounded her, they said, we are not monsters. One of them said, we are not monsters. We are only following orders. Now, she, too, was driven to Vermont and then flown away. Can you explain, since now the federal court in Vermont is taking on her case, what's happening with Ramessa?
Yes. And so it is deeply disturbing that she was so quickly flown away from our state. It's difficult to obviously to have oversight when without any delay in her movement, we were not able to get the answers that we need. There's a lot we don't know about her case, so I don't want to misspeak. What I do know is that any person who is in this situation needs to be absolutely clear that they have right to due process. This is the piece that's getting lost here. This is the thing that my Republican colleagues will say. I had a colleague who used to be on the Judiciary Committee with me. Her name is Representative Victoria Spartz. She said in a town hall a few weeks ago, you know, that these folks who are here legally, if they're not residents, aren't entitled to due process. It's absolutely not true. Anyone within the borders of the United States are entitled to due process. And so it is critically important that we as Americans, regardless of party, stand up for all of these students who are being detained, all of these professors and people who are simply speaking their minds, who are being detained, that this is not in accordance with what our government stands for. And it is chilling to the bone to have somebody say, we are just following orders. That is what they said in Nazi Germany. That is what people said when they were listening to the Gestapo. This has got to stop. This is Trump creating his own army of brown shirts right here in our country.
And Congresswoman, I wanted to ask you about if you could comment on the irony that here we've seen repeatedly now of federal agents, as you say, masked when they are apprehending and detaining people, at the same time that the Trump administration is demanding that universities ban masks in any protests held on university campuses.
Yes, that gives up the game right there. Okay. This entire fury that the Trump administration has directed at institutions of higher ed, it's not about anti-Semitism. It's not. And I will not continue to have this, these outrageous statements being made in my name and others who have been actually impacted by anti-Semitism. This is about authoritarianism. This is about attacking institutions, including schools, so that everyone will bend a knee and will cower in the face of an autocrat. This is what that's about. And the fact that they are so intellectually inconsistent, even about something like masks, gives up the game right there. They don't care about anti-Semitism. They are using this as a tool, a battering ram against our institutions. And I hope that so many Americans who are of Jewish descent will stand up with me and say, not in our name. Absolutely not.
And finally, Congressmember Becca Ballant, you're a graduate of the Harvard School of Education. Before you were a state legislator and a congressmember, you were a middle school teacher. Your thoughts on Harvard standing up? We'll be speaking with a Harvard law professor at the end of the broadcast, but rejecting the Trump administration's attack on them. And now President Trump is threatening to pull their nonprofit status.